Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
The name is Alan Clark. I'm a founding member of the People's Party of Canada. I started this party with Maxime Bernier back in 2018 to deliver a better option, political option, to all of Canada. And I'm the candidate in the upcoming election here for Fort McMurray, Cold Lake, Lac La Biche, Calling Lake, Wandering River, the whole area. I'm a heavy-duty field mechanic, millwright welder, and a mine supervisor, and I work for pretty much all the big companies throughout the region.
Very cool. So where in the province are you living?
I currently reside in Edmonton. I was in Morinville, okay. and my wife of 25 years here, yeah. I just moved to downsized because our kids are all growing up, and our family, of course, is still here in Fort Mac, and half of them work for Canadian Natural Resources, CNRL.
Okay, so you're from down south, and then your children moved up here?
Oh, no, they're born and raised here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I have a stepdaughter, Tasia Kammermeyer.
Okay.
And I'm very proud of her. She ran a 930, Komatsu.
Okay.
For Suncor for 10 years.
Okay.
But now she's got my little granddaughter, and oh. she's doing that thing. So
nice. How old is your granddaughter?
4. Just turned. Chan, I wish her a happy birthday. She's on the 29th. She's turning 5.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a fun age.
Yeah, and she's involved in the campaign.
Yeah, of course. Is that your first grandchild, or do you have?
Yes,
more?
Only one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Two boys, 24 and 27.
Yeah.
And Tasia, 33.
Okay, that's awesome. So, as a grandfather, do you find that you're a softie now, or have you brought your old kind of strict mentality when you were raising your own children into this?
No. Bobby and I are a little bit on the old school side, so yeah. We believe in discipline. We don't let our grandchild run wild or anything like that. But
yeah.
She's a very, very fun spirit.
Yeah.
And she's got energy.
Yeah.
Like sports energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to wear those kids out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. Like she's athletic, and she's just wonderful.
That's fantastic, man. Now, in regards to your history a little bit, explain a little bit about your past involvement in politics.
Well, I'm originally born and raised in Kelowna, British Columbia. I'm a fourth generation apple orchardist.
Oh.
Yeah. And I've been involved in politics since I was 14 years old, as I was involved with W.A.C. Bennett, the Premier of British Columbia, being from Kelowna way back in the day.
Okay.
I joined the Reform Party when it was literally in its founding days with Preston Manning.
Okay.
And things evolved from there. Yeah. And then I was involved with the Conservative Party of Canada. And in 2014, mm-hmm. I canceled my donor card, and I canceled my membership with the Conservative Party of Canada because we didn't build the pipelines as promised.
Right.
And we sent 107.5 billion dollars to Quebec, mm-hmm. from 2005 to 2015, and Stephen Harper's cabinet gonged the Prosperity Mine project in Williams Lake. which would have been which was a $4 billion development and would have been the biggest gold mine in North America.
Yeah. So at that point, is that when you started?
That was the last straw.
Yeah. So in regards to starting a party, what does that entail? Like, how does that even begin?
It's actually quite involved.
No doubt.
I joined back up the Conservative Party when I heard that Maxime Bernier had made a bid for the leadership.
Okay.
I'm a fiscal conservative.
Yeah.
And so is Max. Where I'm not. We have a lot of social conservatives that I don't share their views.
Right.
Pierre Poilievre is a social conservative. Harper's a social conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And they, back in 2000, Ascent Stockwell Day and that group, Jason Kenney, those social conservatives pushed Preston Manning out of the Reform Party. Mm-hmm. I never did cross over to the Canadian Alliance because I just didn't like the way that was handled.
Yeah.
I thought it was handled improperly, and I thought Preston Manning deserved more respect and at the time than that.
Yeah.
So that being said, I've known Max Bernier for a long, long time. We're very good friends, and we've become even better friends, of course, over the years.
Yeah.
And he's a fiscal conservative, and I got to say it to my fellow Albertans, he's more Albertan than most of the conservative Albertans that I know.
Yeah.
So what happened is he lost the bid for the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada, and Andrew Scheer became the leader. I don't want to get into any what happened or this that or point fingers, but
right.
Simply put, we didn't share the principled views or the moral standing at that time of the Conservative Party.
Mm.
They want to keep supply management, they want the Paris Accord, they want to keep equalization, and from a fiscal conservative viewpoint, those are not conservative values or principles.
Mm.
And so we decided to start our own party, and in 2018 we just started a membership drive.
Okay.
And to start a party, what you have to do, you got to establish 250 members, and they all have to be notarized.
Okay.
They have to, everybody had to do affidavits to register the party with Elections Canada.
Right. And so is that 250 per province or just in general?
No, just in general. That's the rules governing the Election Act on registering new political federal parties, yes.
Wow, that doesn't, like, 250, that's...
Well, I'll tell you what, to get 250 people to go to a lawyer and get legal documents done,
right.
That's quite a process, actually.
Yeah.
It might sound simple, but it's not.
No.
You know, I was, Max and I, of course, were the first two to file our papers.
Okay.
And then we had a very good support after that. And then the party started. And, we started this process in 2018. Mm. And by January of 19, we had the party registered.
Okay.
And then, of course, there was the 2019 election.
Right, yeah.
Which, of course, we weren't prepared for. How could you be?
Yeah.
Being just a startup party like that. And,
right.
And, like, we only had we had 90 days to prepare.
Yeah.
But we managed to, get our name out there a little bit. And, we ran a slate of candidates.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a full slate, but we ran a slate of candidates. We had more candidates, for example, than the Green Party.
Yeah.
We'd been around for all those years.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the COVID election in 2021,
mm-hmm.
which, in my personal opinion, was a setup by Justin Trudeau, because that was not, it wasn't time to have an election yet. Mm-hmm. And he used COVID just to try to get another mandate.
Yeah.
And to me, that's thwarted our democratic process here in Canada for Canadians.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I got a question. You said you worked on an apple orchard.
Yes.
What do you think is the best apple?
The best apple? I'll tell you what, the best apple, especially this time of the year, is one that comes out of CA storage, which is cold atmosphere storage, controlled atmosphere storage, and it'll feel like it just came off the tree.
Yeah, are we talking like a Red Delicious, though, or a Granny Smith?
Granny Smith, I find maybe a little bit too tart. I like Red Delicious, I like Ambrosia, I like Spartans. which is a local Okanagan. It was developed in the Okanagan Valley at the Summerland Research Station back in 1967, or no, 64 actually, now that I think on it a bit here. So a while back.
Yeah.
It's funny, we have a lot of, I work with a lot of people from Newfoundland here in Fort McMurray, like huge. We got a huge workforce here from Newfoundland. And I share a funny story. We were having like a Christmas sort of party, and we were talking about all the things what was a big thing when we were young that we'd get in our stocking from Santa Claus. And to me, it was a mandarin orange, eh?
Oh, yeah, dude.
A mandarin orange was huge. And then the fellow from Newfoundland, he goes, if you got a 5 point, that was amazing. And I was thinking, like, a five point to me is like a 5 point buck deer.
Okay.
And he goes, you know those apples that got the bumps on top? A Red Delicious, eh?
Yeah, that you just
mentioned. So, and that was a big thing. They would rather get a Red Delicious than a mandarin orange.
Yeah.
Because they were that rare over there.
Unpopular opinion, I want the mandarin orange.
Oh, well, hey.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, my father wouldn't buy mandarin oranges.
Yeah.
Because Japan wouldn't buy our apples.
Interesting.
Yeah. There was no Chinese mandarin oranges when I was a youngster. It was they were all from Japan.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. As a little kid, you don't care though. You want the orange.
Oh, darn tootin', eh? Oh, hey, Mom would just go get the box.
Yeah. Because awesome. Dad didn't do it didn't mean you don't get it.
That's right. Yeah. So, growing up in the apple industry, what made you have the move to come over to Alberta?
The fact that British Columbia turned into a totally socialist province. That's why I'm so passionate on private property rights.
Right.
In 1972, the NDP government froze all the land in British Columbia, like literally froze it. It's called an agricultural land reserve.
Okay.
So they stripped all the farmers of their property rights. And it exists to this day. And you know, it's very similar to what we've done to our First Nations people in Canada, putting them on reserves.
Mm.
We stripped them of their private property rights because we've shackled their hands to do anything from an economic development standpoint. You know, I was on Easter Sunday, I was with Chief Vern of the Dene First Nation just out here, and Our young First Nation folks, they can't, if they want to have a new home, they can't go to the bank and get a mortgage because the land is reserve land and it can't be chattel by the bank. Mm. So the bank can't secure it. So, you know, we have a housing crisis across Canada. We have a housing crisis within our First Nations communities.
Mm.
And the PPC, People's Party of Canada, one of our plank policies is we're going to abolish the Indian Act in Canada, which is long overdue, and give all First Nations people in Canada a fee simple ownership to the property. And to guarantee that, we actually need to entrench private property rights into our charter, which they don't exist at this point in time. And as the People's Party, and promise made is a promise kept, we will use the notwithstanding clause. If we were the government, we'd use the notwithstanding clause to put to entrench private property rights into our constitution.
Yeah.
And free our First Nations.
Yeah.
And it'll free them economically and it'll free them socially.
There you go. Now, you're obviously very passionate about this kind of stuff.
Yes, this subject I am. Yeah, I gotta admit.
Oh, that's sweet. That's awesome. Like, passion is not a bad thing. Where did that come from in regards to, at your introduction, you said you've been involved in politics from a very young age. Is that something that was kind of instilled with you from, like, your parents or a school or an adult? Like, where did that love for this kind of political fuel come from?
My father was a political. He was involved with the British Columbia Bennett Social Credit Party, so okay. We called him the Socreds.
Okay.
He was a card-carrying member of the Progressive Conservative Party. Mm. My aunt Betty Clark was a principal secretary to the Agriculture Minister Eugene Whelan.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, which back in the day. And then she, after that, she served with a progressive conservative MP, McCrossan, in the Toronto riding.
Yeah.
So we have that end of it. And my uncle Andrew Clark, he was squadron leader.
Okay.
Of Cold Lake, the 108.
Okay.
In Cold Lake. So got a bit of a military background family-wise, and politics runs deep in the family.
Yeah.
Of course, being on an orchard and owning an orchard and our land being frozen, mm-hmm. and our hands being shackled,
yeah.
Then I became very involved. Right. And I actually at one time was the president of the British Columbia Landowners Rights Association.
Okay.
We did it to the point that we hired a couple of the top constitutional lawyers in Canada, and we challenged the constitutionality of the Agricultural Land Reserve in British Columbia.
Okay.
And we never did get it that far, because then what happened, the government said, okay, well, we'll give all the farmers this funding, mm-hmm. if you drop the lawsuit. So the lawsuit got dropped over money.
Right. And so, obviously, from a young age, you've been involved.
Yes.
Family-based. And when you saw the producer here, you were like, hey, you should be informed about this as well. So for the young people who may not have the history in politics that you have and are thinking they may want to be involved, how can people from a young age get involved in the political system that we have?
The easiest way is to go online, look at the policies, mm-hmm. of the particular party, see if your values are the same as the values that are being expressed.
Right.
The PPC People's Party, we're really attracting the young voter.
Okay.
Because we're so common sense. We're common sense. We believe in low taxation. Something that the public doesn't realize right now, in 1990, just our federal government, I'm not talking about provincial governments or municipal governments,
mm-hmm.
Ottawa in 1990 was $135 billion.
Okay.
That's the cost to Canada of having our federal government in Ottawa, and the employees, the MPs, the senators, boom, the federal government.
Mm.
Take a wild guess what it is today.
Couldn't even, me and math aren't friends. How much? A lot more, I'm assuming.
$535
billion.
Well, right now, Canada, we are the most expensive federal government in the world per capita. We're last out of the G35.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is way ahead of us. We're more money per capita than the United States government.
Okay.
Things have to change.
Mm-hmm.
Our policy platform is we're going to doge Ottawa, reduce it back to 18 minutes. It's currently 35 ministries big.
Okay.
It wasn't that long ago that our federal government was 18 to 21 ministries. And with the advancements in technology, those costs actually should have gone down.
Mm.
And it's out of control. Like when I say out of control, I'm talking out of control. Yeah. If you were running a business like that,
mm-hmm.
Every business in Canada would be bankrupt.
Right.
So our part of our policy plank is, we get in there as a government, we're gonna take $200 billion, cut that federal government $200 billion, and give all that tax money back to the taxpayers, because that's where it's come from.
Yeah.
The taxpayers of Canada right now are paying $535 billion for Ottawa.
Yeah. It's a big number.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, that's just about half of our total economy.
Yeah.
That's 62% per capita, where the average in the G35, mm-hmm. is 24%.
Okay.
So we're way off track.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
and everybody goes, well, how did our debt get to be 1.4 billion or 1.4 trillion? That's what it is today. We went from in 2015 to 600 billion. We're now at 1.4 trillion.
Yeah,
in 10 years, we've more than doubled the debt.
Yeah.
We spent $200 billion mm-hmm. chasing green fantasies. And now by doing that, we currently have 100% tariffs from China against our farmers that nobody's talking about. Everybody's all fixated on the Trump tariffs mm-hmm. and they're forgetting that China has tariffs right now against our canola farmers, our pea farmers, our pork producers, all our aqua and seafood industry.
Yeah.
In Atlantic Canada, on the Pacific coast here. And nobody's talking about that.
Yeah.
Because we put tariffs against electric vehicles coming into Canada from China.
Mm.
So they've put tariffs against all our agriculture products.
Interesting back and forth. But listen, unfortunately, Tanner tapped his watch. That means we're out of time.
Okay.
So before we cut you loose, though, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
This election, April 28th, the number one thing on the ballot is Canadian unity. That's not being talked about. Pierre Poilievre is so hated. Like, there's a visceral hatred for him in Eastern Canada, just like there's a visceral hatred for Mark Carney here in Western Canada. And like Preston Manning recently said to the National Post, we need to coalesce around a leader that's going to unify our party. And that leader is Maxime Bernier. He spent 14 years in the House of Commons, and he's had five cabinet portfolios in his lifetime. He's an ex-banker, ex-lawyer, and very, very articulate, and he's very has integrity, he's measured. And if on the 28th of April, if we don't vote in People's Party of Canada government, we're not going to have a country.
There you go. Awesome. Well, for McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Yeah.